So we're still going to talk about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. These are mysteries to modern day Christians because they're too busy being churchy Christians, full of just their own traditions, and they don't really know the full picture. But a lot of Christians around the world have taken it upon themselves to find out the whole picture and to not be caught up with religion and, you know, limited thinking. We have to understand that the book of Jude, he mentions about all of these people who have gone away from God. And he quotes a lot of stuff out of Enoch. Paul, in Timothy, when he writes a letter to Timothy, he speaks about Jamus and Jambore, who withstood Moses. And you'll read about them. They're not even mentioned in the whole of the Bible, the 66 books. So where did they come from? Their names, where did they get their names from? Well, they got them from the book of Jaffa. And the book of Jaffa, we understand, is the book that... the book of Jaffa was quoted in the book of Joshua when the sun stood still. He said, isn't this mentioned in the book of Jaffa? So, Jaffa, whatever you call it. So, there's lots of extra biblical literature that the Jews used. They weren't the inspired word of God or the collection that God has come together and said, these 66 books are my revelation to you. And all the other extra biblical stuff or writings, they actually concur with this stuff. Okay, but this is the official word of God. This is the authorized version. Okay, so we've got lots of other books. We've got the Book of Jubilee. We've got the Book of Enoch. It's interesting that even Jude quotes the Book of Enoch when he says, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on ungodly people. Talks about wandering stars locked up. Talks about the angels who have left their first habitation being locked up. And even Peter speaks about it in one of his epistles. So they're quoting extra biblical sources. So wouldn't it be prudent to actually go and have a look at these extra biblical sources to give us a bigger picture and a bigger understanding of things? So what I'm going to provide for you an edited version of the book of Enoch, because you don't want to go through the whole lot. We just want to go through some of the relevant things to give you understanding. Even in Genesis chapter 6, it speaks about there were giants in those days. And it talks about the word Nephilim. And Nephilim were mentioned after the flood. And Nephilim, well, we know about Nephilim, they're giants. And they're the fallen ones. And then we understand about demons. In Jesus speaks about a spirit of infirmity or an unclean spirit. Where did they come from? Well, the book of Enoch supplies us with that information. The book of Enoch actually says that when the angels came down and they slept with the women and they created beings that were half angelic and half human, when they killed themselves, when they fought, because at the end they had a big battle and they killed themselves, and the angels were forced to watch their children die before they were locked up for eternity. So these monsters, these Nephilim, these giants, these grotesque, strange, weird-looking beings, and they even started mating angels with animals as well. So then there's mythological animal beings as well that we know about. And it's interesting also that the angels that were mentioned in the book of Enoch that came down, there were 200 of them, but there were lead angels, head angels, groupings. And the head angel, his name is mentioned in Leviticus. And in Deuteronomy, where the goat was brought every year, and the high priest, for the atonement of the sins of the nation of Israel, would lay his hands on the goat, and he would speak all the sins of Israel into the goat, and he would invoke that angel's name. So here's an angel bound up for judgment, and all of the sins of Israel are being invoked into this, pressed into this goat. By laying their hands on this goat, all of Israel's sins, all their iniquities, all the things that were against God, that the enemy had made them do or inspired them, was pressed onto that goat, and they invoked the name of that fallen angel. So at the end of days, God's going to pull that fallen angel out from the chains. He's going to impute all of the sins of Israel onto that fallen angel. Pretty amazing stuff. Then in these later days, we've got people talking about the Nephilim coming back, about grotesque animals, hybrids, and it's all about the seed of Satan, or the seed of the enemy, the seed of woman fighting against each other. And there's a lot of mystery going on. So here's another interesting thing to think about. The 10 tribes that actually got scattered into Europe, well, a lot of them, they still stayed as Jews, but then a lot of them, or, you know, Hebrews, but a lot of them, they intermixed and intermarried, and their blood was distributed all through of Europe and mankind, all through the earth, even into Africa. So you've got people all over the world with Jewish blood somewhere in their line. You got people who are just pure Jews, pure Hebrews, but some people have their bloodline through. Now, you know, it's interesting, but you can't minister in the temple if you're a Levite, if one of your descendants was a proselyte or came from another country, and you weren't allowed, that proselyte, any of their descendants weren't allowed to minister in the tabernacle, right, up until the 11th generation. So the blood of the Hebrews would filter through and continue to water down that that fallen blood, that strange blood, that blood that is inferior, that blood that is inferior. So when we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit, we're washed by the blood of the Lamb. We're a new creation, and the life is in the blood, and the blood transforms us. What is it doing? It's transforming our DNA. So we're being transformed as we pray, as we seek God, and washed continually by the blood. It's pretty amazing, all of this. So we're going to go into some of these extra-biblical things, like the Book of Enoch, and we're going to have a listen to those. And we're going to also go through the book of Jude, and we're going to try and see what they were trying to speak about. The book of Jude is all about, or partly about, the book of Enoch. It's about the fallen ones, and they all understood that in the first century. But now, we're 2,000 years later, everything's been all jumbled up, and historical facts have been muddled, and all sorts of stuff, lots of stuff has been lost. Whereas they took it for granted, the first century Christians, part of their books were the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jubilees. You know, they actually read from those, and they got their understanding from those. They got their understanding from the Old Testament books as well. But it wasn't until later on that they started banning these books. You weren't allowed to have them. Guess who started banning them? The Catholic Church. They're trying to take away. If you take away your history, then you won't know who you are. That's one of the strategies of the Catholic Church. Tyndale, who wrote one of the first Bibles, he actually the King James was taken from Tyndale's book, from his Bible. And other Bibles as well, and cross-references with Greek and Hebrew manuscripts as well. And Tyndall, they had to hide that Bible from the Catholics. They were chasing people down. You would be tied to the stake and burnt if you were found with a Tyndall Bible, right? And even with the King James, the 1611 Bible. Man, oh man, the Catholics went mental at that. They wanted their version and their version alone. Nobody could read anybody else but their version, and it was tainted. You know, so we're going to go through and have a look at where the Nephilim actually fit in, where the fallen angels, and even in Genesis chapter 6, it speaks about the sons of God going and having children with the daughters of men. So, you know, some people think that's Cain. That's not really true. It's not about that at all. It's about the Nephilim. And the Bible talks about there being Nephilim after the flood. The Bible also says that Joshua and Caleb, when they went in with the other 10 parts of the tribes, they went into the land and they found giants. And they weren't just over-exaggerating when they said we were like grasshoppers to them. No wonder they were scared. These guys were tall. And even Goliath, he had other brothers, and they were part of the Nephilim. They were distorted. They had 6 fingers and 6 toes. Very interesting stuff. And even when Jesus was around, Josephus even spoke about the bones of the giants being in Israel, that they actually still have the bones of the giants. But now we've got the Smithsonian Institute that has gone around and taken all of this stuff. Every time somebody discovers something, they come in and they confiscate the whole lot and they take it back in the name of science, and it gets boxed away and hidden. Because we're not allowed to know about these narratives. We're not allowed to know about these truths. Because the enemy is trying to give all of our modern thinking a different narrative. Even extraterrestrial, even aliens, I believe that they're real. But they're not aliens, they're actually demons. People are getting, abducted by aliens. They're demons. And what are they getting abducted? What are the main themes of their abduction? It's all to do with the reproductive system of the human race. That's funny, isn't it? The seed of Satan and the seed of the woman will strive together. One is trying to be dominant, you know, and so if you're in Christ, you're a new creation, you'll come from an incorruptible seed. You know, if the devil could kill all the Jews in the world, then he'd have to go and get everybody who had Jewish blood somewhere within him. Then he'd have to find all the Christians, the real Christians, born again Christians, right, get rid of them as well. It's got a very hard job, because it is the the kingdom of God is like leaven hidden in loaves. It's all over the place. The blood of Hebrews is all over the place, and each person who has the blood of the Hebrews is part of the promises that God gave to Abraham, your seed. So it's pretty interesting. Talks about the word of God being a seed in us, and it grows up, and the enemy tries to steal that seed out of us. So we'll just go into the book of Jude, we'll go over it once, it only takes about 2 minutes, and then we'll go into the book of Enoch. We won't go through the whole book, we'll just go through the first couple of chapters and we'll get the theme. And if you want to, you can go and study them, because they're on the website.
The General Epistle of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before, of old, ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
So now we're going to look at the book of Enoch, I think up to chapter 6. And the next MP3, we'll break them all down.
These are the words of the blessing of Enoch, according to which he blessed the chosen and righteous who must be present on the day of distress, which is appointed for the removal of all the wicked and impious. And Enoch began his story and said, "There was a righteous man whose eyes were opened by the Lord, and he saw a holy vision in the heavens, which the angels showed to me. And I heard everything from them, and I understood what I saw. But not for this generation, but for a distant generation that will come. Concerning the chosen I spoke, and I uttered a parable concerning them. The Holy and Great One will come out of his dwelling, and the Eternal God will tread from there upon Mount Sinai, and he will appear with his host, and will appear in the strength of his power from heaven. And all will be afraid, and the watchers will shake, and fear and great trembling will seize them, up to the ends of the earth. And the high mountains will be shaken, and the high hills will be laid low and will melt like wax in a flame. And the earth will sink, and everything that is on earth will be destroyed, and there will be judgment upon all, and upon all the righteous. But for the righteous, he will make peace, and he will keep safe the chosen, and mercy will be upon them. They will all belong to God, and will prosper and be blessed, and the light of God will shine on them. And behold, He comes with 10,000 holy ones to execute judgment upon them and to destroy the impious, and to contend with all flesh concerning everything that the sinners and the impious have done and wrought against him. Contemplate all the events in the sky, how the lights in the sky do not change their courses, how each rises and sets in order, each at its proper time, and they do not transgress their law. Consider the earth and understand from the work that is done upon it, from the beginning to the end, that no work of God changes as it becomes manifest. Consider the summer and the winter, how the whole earth is full of water and the clouds and dew and rain rest upon it. Contemplate and see how all the trees appear withered and all their leaves are stripped, with the exception of the 14 trees, which are not stripped, which remain with the old leaves until the new come after 2 or 3 years. And again, contemplate the days of summer, how at its beginning the sun is above it. You seek shelter and shade because of the heat of the sun, and the earth burns with scorching heat, and you cannot tread upon the earth or upon a rock because of its heat. Contemplate how the trees are covered with green leaves and bear fruit, and understand in respect of everything, and perceive how he who lives forever made all these things for you, and how his works are before him in each succeeding year, and all his works serve him and do not change, but as God has decreed, so everything is done. And consider how the seas and rivers together complete their task. But you have not persevered in, nor observed the law of the Lord. But you have transgressed and have spoken proud and hard words with your unclean mouth against his majesty. You hard of heart, you will not have peace. And because of this you will curse your days, and the years of your life you will destroy, and the eternal curse will increase, and you will not receive mercy. In those days you will transform your name into an eternal curse to all the righteous, and they will curse you sinners forever. For the chosen there will be light, joy, and peace, and they will inherit the earth. But for you, the impious, there will be a curse. When wisdom is given to the chosen, they will all live and will not again do wrong, either through forgetfulness or through pride. But those who possess wisdom will be humble. They will not again do wrong, and they will not be judged in all the days of their life, and they will not die of wrath or anger, but they will complete the number of days of their life, and their life will grow in peace, and the years of their joy will increase in gladness and eternal peace, all the days of their life. And it came to pass, when the sons of men had increased, that in those days there were born to them fair and beautiful daughters, and the angels, the sons of heaven, saw them and desired them. And they said to one another, "Come, let us choose for ourselves wives from the children of men, and let us beget for ourselves children." And Shemyazah, who was their leader, said to them, "I fear that you may not wish this deed to be done, and that I alone will pay for this great sin." And they all answered him and said, "Let us all swear an oath, and bind one another with curses, so not to alter this plan, but to carry out this plan effectively." Then they all swore together, and all bound one another with curses to it. And they were, in all, 200, and they came down on Artis, which is the summit of Mount Hermon. And they called the mountain Hermon, because on it they swore and bound one another with curses. And these are the names of their leaders: Shemyazah, who was their leader, Urukiba, Ramel, Kokabiel, Tamiel, Ramiel, Daniel, Ezekiel, Berechiel, Asael, Armaros, Badariel, Ananel, Zachiel, Samsiel, Satariel, Turiel, Yomiel, and Sariel. These are the leaders of the 200 angels, and all the others with them. And they took wives for themselves, and everyone chose for himself one each. And they began to go into them and were promiscuous with them. And they taught them charms and spells, and they showed them the cutting of roots and trees. and they became pregnant and bore large giants, and their height was 3,000 cubits. These devoured all the toil of men until men were unable to sustain them, and the giants turned against them in order to devour men. And they began to sin against birds and against animals and against reptiles and against fish, and they devoured one another's flesh and drank the blood from it. Then the earth complained about the lawless ones. And Azazel taught men to make swords and daggers and shields and breastplates, and he showed them the things after these, and the art of making them, bracelets and ornaments, and the art of making up the eyes and of beautifying the eyelids, and the most precious stones, and all kinds of colored dyes. And the world was changed. And there was great impiety and much fornication, and they went astray, and all their ways became corrupt. Amazarak taught all those who cast spells and cut roots, Armoros the release of spells, and Barakiel astrologers, and Kokabiel portents, and Tamiel taught astrology, and Asaradel taught the path of the moon. And at the destruction of men they cried out, and their voices reached heaven. And then Michael, Gabriel, Zuriel, and Uriel looked down from heaven and saw the mass of blood that was being shed on the earth and all the iniquity that was being done on the earth. And they said to one another, "Let the devastated earth cry out with the sound of their cries up to the gate of heaven. And now to you, O holy ones of heaven, the souls of men complain, saying, Bring our complaint before the Most High. And they said to their Lord, the King, Lord of lords, God of gods, King of kings, your glorious throne endures for all the generations of the world and blessed and praised. You have made everything, and power over everything is yours, and everything is uncovered and open in front of you, and you see everything, and there is nothing that can be hidden from you. See then that what Azazel has done, how he has taught all iniquity on the earth and revealed the eternal secrets that are made in heaven. And Semyaza made known spells, he to whom you gave authority to rule over those who are with him. And they went into the daughters of men together, lay with those women, became unclean, and revealed to them these sins. And the women bore giants, and thereby the whole earth has been filled with blood and iniquity. And now behold, the souls which have died cry out and complain unto the gate of heaven. And their lament has ascended, and they cannot go out into the face of the iniquity which is being committed on the earth. And you know everything before it happens, and you know this, and what concerns each of them, but you say nothing to us. What ought we to do with them about this? And then the Most High, the Great and Holy One, spoke and sent Arshelalur, the son of Lamech, and said to him, Say to him in my name, hide yourself, and reveal to him the end which is coming, because the whole earth will be destroyed. A deluge is about to come on all the earth, and all that is in it will be destroyed. And now teach him so that he may escape and his offspring may survive for the whole earth. And further the Lord said to Raphael, Bind Azazel by his hands and his feet and throw him into the darkness. And split open the desert, which is in Dudael, and throw him in there. And throw on him jagged and sharp stones, and cover him with darkness, and let him stay there forever. And cover his face so that he may not see the light, and so that on the great day of judgment he may be hurled into the fire. And restore the earth which the angels have ruined, and announce the restoration of the earth. For I shall restore the earth so that not all the sons of men shall be destroyed because of the knowledge which the watchers made known and taught to their sons. And the whole earth has been ruined by the teaching of the works of Azazel, and against him write all sin. And the Lord said to Gabriel, Proceed against the bastards and the reprobates and against the sons of the fornicators, and destroy the sons of the fornicators and the sons of the watchers from amongst men, and send them out, Send them against one another, and let them destroy themselves in battle, for they will not have length of days. And they will petition you, but the petitioners will gain nothing in respect of them, for they hope for eternal life, and that each of them will live life for 500 years. And the Lord said to Michael, Go, inform Shimyaza and the others with him, who have associated with the women to corrupt themselves with them in all their uncleanness. When all their sons kill each other, and when they see the destruction of their loved ones, bind them for 70 generations under the hills of the earth, until the day of their judgment and of their consummation, until the judgment, which is for all eternity, is accomplished. And in those days they will lead them to the abyss of fire, in torment, and in prison they will be shut up for all eternity. And then Shimyaza will be burnt, and from then on destroyed with them. Together they will be bound until the end of all generations, and destroy all the souls of lust and the sons of the watchers, for they have wronged men. Destroy all wrong from the face of the earth, and every evil work will cease. And now all the righteous will be humble, and will live until they beget thousands, and all the days of their youth and their Sabbaths they will fulfill in peace. And in those days the whole earth will be tilled in righteousness, and all of it will be planted with trees, and it will be filled with blessing. And all the pleasant trees they will plant on it, and they will plant on it vines, and the vine that is planted on it will produce fruit in abundance, and every seed that is sown on it, each measure will produce 1,000, and each measure of olives will produce 10 baths of oil. And you cleanse the earth from all wrong, and from all iniquity, and from all sin, and from all impiety, and from all the uncleanness which is brought about on the earth. And all the sons of men shall be righteous, and all the nations shall serve and bless me, and all shall worship me. And the earth will be cleansed from all corruption, and from all sin, and from all wrath, and from all torment. And I will not again send a flood upon it for all generations forever. And in those days I will open the storehouses of blessing which are in heaven, so that I may send them down upon the earth, upon the work and upon the toil of the sons of men. Peace and truth will be united for all the days of eternity and for all the generations of eternity. And then Enoch disappeared, and none of the sons of men knew where he was hidden, where he was, or what had happened. And all his doings were with the holy ones, and with the watchers in his days. And I, Enoch, was blessing the great Lord and the King of eternity. And behold, the watchers called to me, Enoch the scribe, and said to me, Enoch, scribe of righteousness, go and inform the watchers of heaven, who have left the high heaven and the holy eternal place, and have corrupted themselves with women, and have done as the sons of men do, and have taken wives for themselves, and have become completely corrupt on the earth. They will have on earth neither peace nor forgiveness of sin, for they will not rejoice in their sons. The slaughter of their beloved ones they will see, and over the destruction of their sons they will lament and petition forever. But they will have neither mercy nor peace. And Enoch went and said to Azazel, You will not have peace. A severe sentence has come out against you that you should be bound. And you will have neither rest nor mercy, nor the granting of any petitions, because of the wrong which you have taught, and because of all the works of blasphemy and wrong and sin which you have shown to the sons of men. And then I went and spoke to them all together, and they were all afraid, fear and trembling seized them. And they asked me to write out for them the record of a petition, so that they might receive forgiveness, and to take a record of their petition up to the Lord in heaven. For they were not able, from then on, to speak. And they did not raise their eyes to heaven, out of shame for their sins, for which they had been condemned.